This is not a promo, because this is not a podcast. With Nothing to Say is a show with absolutely nothing to say. Sometimes it's just me, sometimes it's others, but always, no matter what, we have nothing to say. So find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and hopefully we might just be there. Or maybe we won't.
All right, kids. It's 6:37 in the morning. It's time for the next stream of random. Woohoo! Well, I'm having a great day today. Got a good night's sleep. And this morning I was having a dream. Someone was screaming at me, "Wake up!" It was like I was watching some video in my dream. And there's this girl dancing, and she was screaming, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!" So I woke up. And now I'm here. I spent the morning working on some animations. For my little program that I was working on, and I'm not going to go on and on and on about it, but I've got the ability now to create animations in SVG, and I have a plan for creating animations with 3D so I can make videos like those guys do in YouTube. But I thought first I'll do the camera work. First I'll do the camera, the recording. Well, first I'm getting my math right. And I'm not going to talk about it too much because I may have made a mistake. Maybe not. But what I saw was, I know I saw this on the Mod 6, that the first prime numbers are, in the first in the fifth column of Mod 6 table, and in any way, maybe I made some mistakes in my visualizations. I'm still working on that, so how you guys doing, huh? Do you miss me? Were you worried about me? My daily listeners? I was listening to this other guy, Nothing Much to Say or something, and he's sitting there yawning on his podcast, like falling asleep. And I'm like, dude, are you yawning in my ear? And then he's complaining his listeners are dropping off. It's like, I was dropping off too. I want to hear someone fired up, not yawning. Like, consistently yawning. It's like, no way, dude. Can't do that. Can't do that. Let me tell you. We don't want to have people yawning. One of the best daily podcasts that I found was Get Your Game On by Dre All Day, and he's very repetitive. But he's pretty good. Actually, he's extremely repetitive. But I like him. I like them. So, and the yawning dude's like, oh, we could do a promo swap. And I'll send you my promo. So, you know what? I'll actually play his promo. I don't have a promo, a great promo. I actually have the old promo. I don't think he's going to play that. Dun, dun, dun. So it turns out that they didn't shut down all the restaurants for a week. And Mr. Chicken Jar has to work today. Go figure. But, and it turns out that a lot of people are dying over there in Albania and Kosovo from the COVID. And I wonder why. Everyone's dying in hospitals. They're going to hospitals for other symptoms to be treated for something else, and they come back dead from COVID. It just makes me wonder, like, what's up with that free and socialized medicine? How great is it? Tell you what, I'm not going to a hospital over there if I can help it. I've only heard horror stories. We have a beautiful moon, a little sliver of the Easter moon left, and its face, it's just coming up in the morning. I guess it's going to be in the same position in the sky. Oh, where'd it go? I guess it's going to be in the same position in the sky, depending on its day of the month, as opposed to the day of the, oh, there it is. The day of the month as opposed to the day of the year. And I had a good talk with my son yesterday. And I tried to explain him how all the numbers work in Minecraft, and how the games are just files with numbers. And then he fell asleep on me. His little brain was like, I gotta shut this down. He wanted a good night story, and I told him about how everything's a number. So, I think we should work on an attribute of atoms per pixel. Like, how many atoms are needed to do this one pixel on the screen. As a interesting way of, because he's always confusing atoms and pixels, my son. And I was just thinking about that. I'm like, well, how many atoms are actually in a pixel? like giving a pixel on the screen. How many atoms do you actually need to display that? Including the CPU and the graphic card and all that. And I guess it's constantly rising. Or they're just creating more and more complexity inside of the existing atoms, making them smaller and smaller. So maybe it's going down. I don't know. Same amount of silicon and more information. So, yeah, the sun's up. And I'm having a lot of deep thoughts recently. And I'm questioning, oh my God. So I'll give you an update on what I'm learning about. So I was listening to Douglas Hofstetter's Einstein lecture. And he studied in Switzerland when he was a kid. Dad, I guess, was teaching there, and his German is amazing. It's not perfect, but it's amazing. And he was talking about Einstein as just taking an analogy and driving it, where he found that the equations for gas matched those from light. Maxwell equations for ideal gas matched the black body radiation, and he came up with this whole idea of light as a particle just through analogy, and that those are some of the amazing pattern matching . So that would tie into my idea of training a machine learning system on the graphs of these different number sequences to be able to recognize them if they occur. And also, I'm just going to postulate that every number sequence could be considered an integer constant. Of some kind that captures that Euler is just one of many. I'm starting to read the Euler book, and I'm seeing how this guy was a freaking genius. So the five great mathematicians are Gauss, Euclid, Euler, Archimedes, and Newton, according to this book that I'm reading. And there's like hundreds and hundreds of volumes of information that they're preparing on Euler in his most amazing. And he came up with I and E and all that. So what I'm just going to postulate here is that every single numeric sequence can be pressed down into a numeric constant of some kind, encoded in there. Using some kind of encoding scheme. So every sequence is constant. And even the whole number one is just an infinite sequence, I guess, that's completely filled or something, I don't know. We can just imagine just some infinite sequence that adds up to one or converges at one. And I'm not saying that the function has to be converges at. It could be something more complicated, like, let's just say that there's some function f that will encode a given sequence, a given other function g, into some constant C. So that this constant C contains everything about that function, ideally the graph of it as well. And if not the graph, at least some kind of program code that would generate the graph, if interpreted by another function h. But ideally, somehow encoded directly, just like the gamma function or the gamma constant. And I guess some numbers will go to infinity. You just have to put them into a ratio against infinity or something. We'll see. It might be just a crazy idea. And we're going to study more proofs. And I guess that's why we need to learn all about proofs. Because if you have mathematical ideas that are thinking, then you need the mathematical prover to prove them. You can't just think all the time. You need that feedback loop as well. Like, a thinker thinks of something, and the prover tries to prove it, and the results of that experiment are fed back to the thinker, and the thinker adjusts. So we've been doing a lot of conjecture and speculation and not the proving side of it. Found an interesting problem at work yesterday. The reverse proxy we had set up, or someone had set up, was caching an old IP address. And it was falling over. So, look at those birds, huh? It's a beautiful, beautiful spring day. I guess we can go check on Betty's little library now. See if someone took or moved some of my books. Let's see. Well, a lot of books have moved. These are actually Istanbul's there. The book on motivational systems gone. And the other book is gone too. The Jesus book. Look at that. Look at that. Well, that's great. So what are we talking about? How beautiful life is? The analogies? The proofs? Well, I sold the wood chipper. I took a loss on it, but it was a piece of crap I shouldn't have bought. And you know, you win some and you lose some. You can't make a profit on everything. My wife's making a handy profit on her mid-century modern furniture. So I guess that offsets some of our losses. But the wood chipper's just taking up space. And love it or list it, you know? And I wanted it for doing the leaves. But that wasn't working. So, I gotta go back and start digging more holes now. Wood posts will be coming soon. Boy, those concrete bags are heavy. Like, it wouldn't make sense to have an Amazon deliver a bag of concrete, right? Because it's so damn heavy. But if something's light and easy to stack, then it would make more sense, like a flower pot. Like, Amazon would be perfect for delivering flower pots, but not for concrete bags. Yeah, so what I'm going to do with my code is I'm going to go in and document it all and clean it up. And start with some start with some basics. The trees are starting to blossom. I want to go down and see the cherry trees. My grandma and grandpa, they took me for a ride. Somewhere in Essex, New Jersey, there's this park that supposedly has more cherry trees than anywhere else. And they took me there for a ride around Easter. I'll never forget. It's funny though, because I tell you this, and my grandpa, he couldn't drive anymore, I don't think. Or maybe he could. I think we went multiple times, but I remember sitting with him and grandma in the car, and looking at the cherry trees. And he was a silent type, but he enjoyed it. And we didn't do so much with grandma and grandpa, like going out like that. I guess when he was sick and older, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He calmed down a bit. And grandma got to drive him around and do stuff with him. But it's just funny because I tell you this story, I could tell you, but it's not the same as experiencing it. So that experience with them is a time long gone. And it's now in my head. But when I'm gone, there will be no one left who has experienced that. Time's forgotten. And that is also why we do this podcast, to document the times forgotten. And it may seem to be someone just clinging to relevance. Someone getting older and just trying to maintain some kind of relevance in this world being taken over by younger and younger people who are more interested in TikTok. And that kind of leads me to the question of efficient market systems and algorithms. So the idea goes like this. In the old days, you would have people making decisions as to what was relevant, what was not. gatekeepers, celebrities, representatives. Now we have algorithms. Walking up a hill here. Now we have algorithms that are they deciding, and everyone's worried about what's trending, and what's trending is being amplified. And that's also why marginalized content like this There's old Uncle John. ...1908. John Roebling. It's always impressive to see him. Yeah. So I'm thinking about the algorithms that are deciding and boosting up people, and how this podcast is really, I'm not marketing it at all. Not really. But I think that I can cluster it together with 5 or 6 other random podcasts, which will be in my random section. So we have the daily streams, and we have mainstream versus random. And I think we have to celebrate the random as a category. I think we can come up with a mathematical category system for classifying and celebrating random streams. And that could also drive content to them. And I think a daily show that has like clips. And I was thinking, what if we just take random clips from daily podcasts and just have some algorithm that will clip randomly? And then I'll listen to those and vote on them, or people could listen to them and vote on them. And then we could have trending that way. It's like, you want random content? Well, listen. So pick this category that you're interested in and just listen to these random clips that the machine has cut up for you. And decide, interesting, not interesting, I want to hear more. You know, scroll back a little bit, listen to it again. Or dismiss it. And if we just have that process, I wonder what would come out of it. And people could be subscribing to different streams of random. Selecting some basic categories. And it could also be based on text recognition. like, ideally, it would be, like, what are the key points? Like, using different algorithms to do summation, text summation. What are the key points being made? What are the sentences? What's being talked about? And then using that to help classify the podcasts. I know we've talked about this so much, and I've yet to just throw the money at it, the CPU resources. But I have the feeling that we're going to get there, because I think in my study of math, we are going to actually move forward one day, once I get my head sorted out and stop orbiting around zero. I might choose another number to orbit around. So let's talk about that. I've always been... Look at that black squirrel. I think that'd be a good picture for this podcast. The squirrels always hide behind the tree, so you can't see them. They have this way of finding their way to the opposite side of the tree, don't they? There he is. That's a good picture. Good enough for a random picture. So, to get back to this idea, I've always tried to start at zero and just discover incrementally some idea, not really plan it out. Spontaneity being the prime factor, randomness. And I've always built up that skill of being able to jump onto something and attack it. And I've started a lot of new projects. It's like always restarting, always starting again. So that might be a mistake, instead of just building up on what you have, being more conservative, less eccentric, or progressive, or whatever you want to call it. But there's something that I felt when studying Euler. That he's also was not only an extremely skilled mathematician, but also socially skilled and able to make himself effective. He had his game on. Going over the bridge here. Over the canal. Time to head back. This is my loop. My phone's beeping. So I'm asking this guy from Cambodia, who's I'm accusing of being a spammer. He said he found me from Telegram search. But I do appreciate Mr. Mathematician, brother-in-law, who said that, who was asking me some serious questions about my mathematical thing that I sent him. So he seemed to be interested, at least. So that's good. That's real good. I really appreciate some feedback. And I'm hoping that I can turn this whole thing into a video and then make some, get some views. So, gotta get rid of this, wow, they broke every single window in this guy, in this person's house, in this house here, boarded up the rest of them, and spray paint. Listen to those birds. Anyway, just thinking about so many different things now. On one side of the river, you have this humongous mansion. On the other side, you have broken windows. But they like to talk about equality here. A lot. And maybe it's the more they talk about equality, the more they feel bad about things. The more they have to cover up. It might just be an inverse function. So anyway, we're back to the grind. Back to the grind. This goose is like threatening me. How come you're alone, goose? So the guy says he found me on Telegram by searching for random people to talk to. But I'm listed as some weird name. Some pseudonym. It's like searching for anonymous and then talking to a random anonymous. Some beautiful tree blossoms, though. Morning. There's no morning. Have their headphones on. But even this small little section of land . Imagine if the land was parceled up, not to make the most profit for selling, but to actually have the greatest benefit. It's like the king gave you all this land and then you split it up and sold it to people. Fiat currency. Fiat ownership. Isn't it? If you're going to make the argument against fiat currency, you could also make the argument against fiat land ownership. So let's get back to this idea, this intuition, this feeling that I had. There's a couple of feelings I want to talk about. So gut feelings. So the one is that, you know, memories of people will die with the people who know them. So you're only as good as the people who remember you. And all the people who remember you will also die. So then you get into the next generation, where it's like, oh, well, grandpa. And then great-grandpa or great-grand... Who's talking about great-great-grandpa? Right? Unless great-great-grandpa was the king of Prussia. Well, maybe then. Right? Like, look them up in the history books. There's great-great-grandpa or great-great-grandma. But besides that, who's talking about them? Who even remembers them? Who even remembers their name? And these are people in your family. Like, let me ask you, how many great-great-grandpas do you know about? Right? You personally. Or have heard stories about. Right? So there's a natural abstraction there, because everyone is vying for relevance. To be remembered, or I mean relevant. But we still got God. People are talking about Jesus. Like, he's very relevant. And people are talking about Luke Skywalker. Right? And has Luke Skywalker replaced Odin as the, you know, or Yahweh? Right? As the prototypical, archetypical, abstract archetype of the manly man. Right? The one that everyone remembers. Okay, that was my garbage alarm. The manly man. The manly man. The manly man, or the womanly woman, and these different archetypes, are they not different programs in our brains carried on for generations that we can tap into? Are they not some kind of prime number? So, just some ideas here to throw at you. So that's the first intuition. Second intuition is the Google algorithm actually making the market more efficient? Or is it just amplifying? Is it just amplifying randomness? And so the first thing I want to note is that YouTube is now displaying all types of pharmaceutical ads, as I mentioned earlier. And that would mean that their preparation for displaying pharmaceutical ads is to shut down any discussion of any type of questions regarding anything controversial, because they want to take over from cable TV. as the displayer of pharmaceuticals. And they're displaying those on my YouTube, TV YouTube. So, I think that's kind of interesting. And my question is, are they influencing the market, or are they actually making the market better? Right? And is it a race to the bottom? Is it a race to the bottom? So, maybe we can do a better job at searching for things. And maybe people would want to have something more interesting than just some algorithm boosting whatever. So that was my question. Is it the most efficient or is there a more efficient market mechanism than Google and the YouTubes? Is it delivering you the content that you want? Or is it hiding it? Because I know that it kind of gets into the question of, if you're a new content producer, like, how will it know what your content is? Like, how do you distinguish between noise, signal to noise? How does that even work? So, these are the questions that I'm grappling with now, if I'm going to do my own indexing. And I might just generate random shows with different clips from different podcasts using different algorithms, and then just have people rate them. And I could listen to them myself. And you could subscribe to different seeds. Now, I think the first thing that we need to do is we need to create a tool that will allow for a podcast feed to include another podcast feed in it. So, basically like a proxy server, and then in the URL that contains the episode, or the media file, it'll contain the position, the play from, play to, and then we can generate. Morning. Hey, doggy. We could generate a list of random clips from a list of podcasts, put them into a feed, and have a literal stream of random where you could just listen to different clips. I suppose you could edit those together into one file that you could download. But I was thinking of a proxy server. If you had autoplay turned on, and then you just have a proxy server that would deliver that content. I guess a random clip would be okay. Like a personalized random feed that you choose what you want and it picks different samples for you to listen to. Like a random conservative news. And really, we want a special player for this. I mean, let's be honest. We're really going to want our own player that you can then rate and swipe. We want the voice commands and all that. Perfect for walking. Voice annotations. And we talked about all that stuff before. I started looking into some of it too. Making my own podcast apps. So AntennaPod, if they have a feature they don't want, and I have to distribute the app by myself, what would I call it? Antenna. How about DishPod? Like a satellite dish instead of an antenna? RandomPod. How about the stream of RandomPod? The pod of random. How's that? The antenna pod of random? So, that was my second thought of making a market and somehow making these voices heard, because these podcasts aren't getting a lot of listens. But I'm sure there's people who would be interested in some random content. And this is kind of like, people say that they don't want to hear the same old stuff, but they want to hear the same old stuff. They say they don't want to listen to mainstream, but they listen to mainstream, right? You say you want to be different, but then you don't want to be different. You want to celebrate diversity, but then you're not celebrating diversity. You know, you want something that's authentic and real, but then when you get it, it's like, oh God, turn it off. So, So that was the second idea I had. And then what else did I have for an idea? Well, if Einstein was a lowly third-class patent officer and he came up with this idea, he came up with this analogy, and he was an outsider, and they didn't like his idea at all, and it was ignored for 20 years or whatever, because it wasn't mainstream. Now, Euler was mainstream. He was working for the king. He was playing, he had his game on. And he was very, very successful and very productive. And he maximized his output. And he worked on all types of interesting problems and was constantly thinking. So we have to really slice off a little bit of that and say, hey, get your math game on. Get that brain going. Don't get stuck. Now, I was just thinking that could we represent these programs as numbers, right? And then, like, iterate over the numbers in some meaningful fashion. The different parameters as numbers, but also the loops as numbers. And we saw this video on Fourier transformation, which was amazing, yesterday. Literally amazing. Hear the sound of nature. It's not dead air, it's live air. It's all alive. Anyway, that's about it for my ideas for the day. I mean, obviously, finally the idea was that a I mean, maybe the system of monarchy and the system of the old days was oppressive, and that it made some people more successful through their very nature. It was picking winners. Obviously, it picked some good winners and some bad ones. And we're really getting into that as well with computer picking winners. So, I mean, I guess this ties into that. Is the market efficient? Is it finding the ideas, or is it not? I mean, what is the actual thing that we're searching for? I was talking about whether or not the people divvying up the land did it correctly. I mean, just selling it off at the maximum profit, or maybe even installing parks along the way. Instead of putting the parks where in the swamps where no one could actually build, you could put parks evenly spaced to maximize the utility of the land versus the profit. And this kind of gets into the question of good versus profit, and kind of ties into this question of value. Are you maximizing your good, or are you maximizing your profit? Right? NJM Insurance Group, West Trenton, New Jersey. It's not Ewing. That's West Trenton. It's not Trenton, it's West Trenton. So, just walking up a hill here. But I feel like I'm getting stronger. I'm not even breathing that heavy walking up this hill. So, what was I? Are we maximizing the good or maximizing the profit? And what is the difference? How do you quantify good? How do you put a value on that? And can you buy good with money? Can't buy me love. So, one thing the guy was saying is that Dre all day is that you need to put your foot and keep your foot in your team's ass, he said, and push them. Push them for what? So, are you maximizing profit or are you maximizing good? And this is going to get into the whole question of, I guess it's going to get into the question of socialism and communism and what is good. Profit over people, or people over profit. The good of the society versus the good of the individual. So, I can open up my jacket now. And really, that's going to be some serious questions that we have to answer. And mathematically speaking, and also from a computer science perspective, like, unless you can define the function and then solve for it, right? Unless the algorithm can measure it, how are you going to know? So, and I'm just thinking that maybe if we take an introspective type of view and we say the maximized feedback from people is what's good. So, like, democracy, like, what do people feel? What do they click on? And that's what gets into the whole algorithm. Eyeballs. Or is it the maximized profit for Google? Because people want to see fringe stuff. But they're taking it down and censoring it. And this kind of gets into the whole fringe thing. Marginal. Marginal ideas, marginal content, fringe, hidden, esoteric, cult, secrets, non-mainstream, all that. So, that's an interesting way to look at it. We definitely see YouTube has changed over the years, and a lot of the content has moved to BitChute or whatever off of YouTube. But again, how are you going to pay for all of that if you don't have some kind of monetization? Like, how do you pay? How do you sustain something? What's sustainable? And then we can get into this whole random stream where we can actually have people listening to the random algo stuff, or then tagging and confirming tags and feeding back. So, beautiful flowers out here. Blossoms. Pranvera. It means spring in Albanian. And Vera reminds me of verde or green. But green is gelbert, and gelb in German is yellow. I forget what yellow is in Albanian. Yeah, anyway. I really should do my New Jersey Linux Fest. Or Delaware River. I wonder what the name of this area is actually, geologically speaking. Is there a name that's not political, but recognizable? Or is everything political? So, yeah. Selling products and making money is one measure of success. But mimetic infection, I guess, is another measure of a success. Which doesn't really matter what you choose to do with your life. It's your choice. And, at least I got this walk in today. I hope you enjoyed it, walking with me. And you see I'm back to full speed of random thought generation. That's for sure. Maybe there's some good insights in here, some random clips that will show up. Maybe I should just start selecting random clips from from my podcast. This is the random editing. Maybe that's what we should do. Morning. Maybe that's what we need to do. Yeah, but I still like this idea of a procedural podcast player. Like, why can't the podcast player just generate random clips for me? Why can't it skip silence? Why can't I program it? Or just some parameters and program it for a certain podcast. It's like just doing some parametric modeling of a particular podcast or a particular season or time period. It's like, well, in these couple of episodes, he had this microphone, he had these parameters. Could squelch out this noise. Just removing cars. And why should it matter how you write the program? See, this is kind of what picks me, tees me off. Like, why can't I just write a program? Why do I have to pick whether it's mobile or not? Can't I just write a function? You know? Can I just describe what I want it to do? Why does this have to be always so down and dirty? Can't we have a higher level of abstraction? And that's really what I'm trying to drive at here is, can't we program in the podcast and just specify what we want? Or is it not specified enough? Would it kill someone to tell them all the details? Would it be just too much information? Too much information? This guy walking backwards? Whew. Good morning. Yeah, he's walking backwards. This is a bird feeder of some kind. Birdhouse, squirrel feeder, Iron Man book, Encyclopedia Bodybuilding. Look at this, the Encyclopedia Bodybuilding, a complete A to Z of muscle building. I guess I'll have to take that book with me. And this guy left some important documents in there. But I won't say which ones. Dun, 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 dun. All right. So guys, I think we're done for today. We really are. I don't have much else to say. I even forgot we're recording. So you know what? I'm calling it. Calling it a day. See you next time. Have a great day. One hour, 30 minutes.